I will be reading Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land.
Morning, church. What a great day to come together to celebrate the faith we have in our Lord and to celebrate the home we have in heaven and to celebrate those who have given us life. Happy Mother's Day, moms, and to my mom and to all of your moms, happy Mother's Day. If you remember, you might have heard one or two of these phrases from your mom while you were growing up. Maybe if you've lived long enough, you may have uttered one or two of these phrases to a spouse or a friend or maybe to a child. But our mothers are very special people. They are the ones who God has decided to give us life through, and they're the ones through whom they continue to show us God's love. They're very special people, according to Colton Scripture reading, our Deuteronomy passage. This morning, we're going to look at a very special mother. Her name is Hannah. Hannah lived about 3,000 years ago, around 1100 BC. And Hannah was very much a typical woman for her time. She lived in a different time, a different continent, a different era, a different world. A lot of things were different from Hannah's life than from our life, but she was very much a part of her culture. She fit in very well. That's not to say that Hannah lived an easy life. There were some challenges for Hannah, some struggles in her physical life, her spiritual life, her family life, and she also had some great joys. There was some times when she had a great seasons of great joy. And in that regard, she reflects all of us. We have seasons of struggle and seasons of great joy. But the reason we're going to look at Hannah this morning is because Hannah kept her faith. She was a woman of faith throughout it all. And because of that, she is an example for not only our moms, but not only our women, but for all of us who are seeking to be followers of the one true God. And that is to be able to stay faithful to God regardless of the circumstances. So tonight we're going to look at, or this morning, it's not tonight yet, is it? Okay. This morning we're going to look at three examples of faithful women, three realities for faithful women. Number one, faithful women endure real problems. Faithful women endure real problems. We're going to be reading from 1 Samuel chapter 1. If you want to turn your Bibles there, open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 1. All right, it'll be on the screen. You're welcome to read along with me on the screen if you'd like. 1 Samuel chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. There was a certain man from Ramathaim, a Zophite, from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, an Ephraimite. He had two wives. One he called Hannah and the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. Year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife Peninnah and all her sons and daughters. But Hannah he gave a double portion, because he loved her and the Lord had closed her womb. And because the Lord had closed her womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. Elkanah, her husband, would say to her, "Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons?" Let's stop there. So Hannah had some personal struggles in her own walk. In Hannah's day, one of the most profound measures of a woman, if you wanted to find value as a woman, you found a husband and you provided that husband with children. It was considered one of the highest values a woman could give is children to her husband to build the family. Not only just children, but also sons to carry the family name. And Hannah knew the shame, that the embarrassment that came from not being able to fulfill this measure of what a woman was supposed to be. Year after year she tried, and year after year she failed. And so she understood all too well what it felt like to be a woman who didn't measure up, someone who didn't make the grade. Verse 3 and verse 5 tells us that year after year she tries to have a child, but year after year she fails to meet this measure of a woman. So she has some personal struggles. Verse 6 and following, she has some family problems. For those of us who've been married, you know marriage is hard enough between two people. But Hannah had to share her husband with another wife, which only complicated matters. And the other wife adds to Hannah's heartache. In verse 6, we're told that the other wife purposely provoked Hannah in order to irritate her. Some of your translations say to make her fret. The other wife's job was to make Hannah's life miserable. What's fascinating about this is in the midst of all of this, Hannah still remains faithful to the Lord. How easy would it have been for Hannah to say, my personal life is not going the way I want it to go. I've prayed and I've prayed to God for a child, and so far he's left my womb closed. She understands who gets to make the choice whether she has a child or not. It's God who's closed her womb. And I've tried to be a good wife, but my husband decided I wasn't enough, and he took another wife, and this other wife is making my life miserable, and I just can't focus on my relationship with God while these things are run amok. She wouldn't be the first person to use that excuse. She won't be the last person to use that excuse. She could have very easily let the struggles that she had in her life get between her and her God. But in verse 7, it says, year after year, she continues to worship the Lord. Real problems are still a way of life, right? Women today have countless more ways to find their value. Many more options than what Hannah had in her life. And every year there are women who find their value in whatever avenue they seek, whether it's parenting or childhood or marriage or careers, whatever it is. But there's also women who struggle, who didn't find that value last year and haven't found that value this year. It doesn't mean they're not valued by God, but in their heart and their mind, they're not measuring up to what their measure is of what their identification of a woman should be. That's still a struggle. And there are still women who are married to men who fall short. Godly women married to ungodly men. Godly women whose relatives make life difficult for them, whose relatives make them fret. You know anybody like that? Godly women who struggle to measure their measure of what it means to be a woman. But faithful women remain faithful to the Lord no matter what. A woman like Hannah doesn't let anything come between them and God. Nothing, nobody comes between them and their relationship with Christ. So faithful women endure real problems. Secondly, faithful women extend heartfelt prayers. Let's go back to our text, 1 Samuel 1. Let's pick up where we left off in verse 9. 1 Samuel 1, beginning in verse 9. Once when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli, the priest, was sitting on a chair by the doorpost of the Lord's temple. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. And she made a vow, saying, O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. It's a Nazarite vow. As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, how long will you keep on getting drunk? Get rid of your wine. Not so, my lord, Hannah replied. I'm a woman who's deeply troubled, and I've not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. Eli answered, go in peace. And may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. She said, may your servant find favor in your eyes. Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Let's stop there. So just notice, if you would, the content of her prayer, how her prayer is described in Scripture. Verse 10, she wept much, prayed to the Lord, bitterness of soul. This is a woman who's struggling to find value, and in her culture, she can't find it the way her culture measures it, and it's agonizing to her. Verse 11, she's making a solemn vow. Verse 12, she kept on praying to the Lord. Verse 13, praying in her heart. This is not just some superficial prayer. This is not a rote, memorized prayer. She's just opening her heart to God, saying, this is where I hurt. This is where I'm broken. This is where I struggle. 15, pouring her heart out. 16, praying out of her great anguish and grief. 18, praying with faith in God's promise. Hannah was willing to open her heart to the Lord, and she believed her Lord heard her. She also believed her Lord would answer her. Church, heartfelt prayers are a way of life. For women, for moms. I don't know about you, but as a parent, I've never prayed more fervently than for my family. A way of life. Faithful women pray fervently, opening their heart and soul to God. Faithful women pray regularly, regardless of the circumstances. Faithful women pray faithfully, believing God will hear them and believing God will answer them. Heartfelt prayers are a way of life for faithful women. Third, faithful women experience God's providence. Faithful women experience God's providence. 1 Samuel 1. Let's go back to verse 19. 1 Samuel 1, we'll pick up in verse 19. Early the next morning, they arose and worshipped before the Lord and then went back to their home in Ramah. Elkanah lay with her, Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, because I asked the Lord for him. Verse 19, the Lord provided for Hannah when he remembered her. It's important to notice that Hannah does not withhold her worship from God until God gives her the answer she wants. She still goes every year to worship the God. She rises early, verse 19, the next morning to worship the Lord. And it's important to notice that God doesn't forget his children's request. She believes God hears her. She knows God is in charge of whether or not she has a child. He has closed her womb. He can open her womb. And she prays to him fervently, opening her heart in anguish and bitterness. And she wants to be what in her culture says is a woman. She wants to be complete the way her culture says she needs to be complete. And she desires that. And she takes it to God because she knows he's the only one who can do it. And so far, year after year, his answer has been not now. Well, I've been told there's three answers to every prayer. Yes, no, and not right now. And so far, it's been not right now. I don't know about you, church. I don't know about you, church, but when I am feeling anguish, when I'm feeling between a rock and a hard place, if God were to answer my prayer before I finished and said amen, that would not be fast enough. And year after year, she prays to her Lord, knowing in his providence, he hears her. And knowing in his providence that he is answering her, even though right now it's not right now. She still turns to God. She still understands that he remembers her. Verse 20, the Lord provides for Hannah, not only when he remembers her, but in verse 20, when he gives her a son. Verse 6, we read that the Lord had closed Hannah's womb. And Hannah knows that her becoming a mother is God's choice. So in the course of time, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son. Not only for Hannah is that good news, not only is that a hallelujah, that's an answered prayer, that's a thank you God for the answered prayer. There's something really fascinating going on there. She's been praying year after year, and she's been being told, not yet, not yet, not yet. Whew, God's got more patience than I do. Abraham and Sarah 25 years from the time of promise of a child to a child. I pray I would have the faith to hold out for 25 years if not right now. And yet, God answers her prayer and provides for her, not only in listening to her, not only in responding to her, but in giving her the answer to her prayers. But notice what it says. It says in the course of time. God didn't do for her what he did for Mary. God just didn't plant a child in hand and said, okay, you've been requesting. What God did was open her womb and then let the course of nature, which God designed, bring about a pregnancy for Hannah, who's been praying fervently for a pregnancy. There's something interesting there, church. What does that tell us? While we're praying for God, and while God is praying, while we're praying for God to answer and give us a request, while we're asking God for something, and when God is still saying, not right now, we've still got to be doing the thing God expects us to do. We've got to be serving God. We've got to be the people God has called us to be. God opened her womb and then let the course of action of being a wife and married woman take its course and gave her a child through his natural way. We ask, we trust, and we continue to serve God. As a husband, as a wife, as a son, as a daughter, as a child, as a parent, as a teacher, as a caregiver, we continue to serve in the way we should. And Hannah knows her child is a symbol from God. Hannah knows her child is the response from God hearing. And finally, after all these years, it's no longer not now, it's okay. Here. God has heard. And so she names this child Samuel. Why? Because the word Samuel in Hebrew sounds a lot like the word for God hears. I'm going to name my child, God heard me. I'm going to name my child so that every time I call my child's name, every time I recall my child's name, I'm going to recall that God provided. That God heard me. And he didn't do it in Hannah's time frame. He didn't do it when Hannah wanted it. He didn't do it when Hannah wished for it. But he did it when Hannah needed it. And when he knew Hannah was ready for it. And so she named her child, God Hears. Why, she says, verse 20, because I asked the Lord for him. Because I asked the Lord for him. Church, God's providence is still a way of life for faithful men and faithful mothers everywhere. The Lord still provides for faithful women. He still provides by remembering them. And so moms, if you're out there praying and you're praying for your children and you're praying for your family and you're praying for your career, you're praying for whatever, and so far the answer's been not right now, don't quit. Don't give up. You keep being the woman God called you to be. You keep serving in the place God gave you to serve. You keep being the mother, the parent. You keep being the person God's called you to be. And trust that God hears and that God remembers. You've not been forgotten. You've not been turned off. He hasn't turned the volume down and not listening to you anymore. He's just saying, this isn't God's moment. This isn't God's timing. Not right now. But know he hears you. And also know that when it is God's timing, and when it is God's moment, and when God knows it's the right time, he will answer definitively. And know that whatever the answer is, it'll be what's best for you. Yes, no, not right now. Sometimes God provides by giving us what we want. Sometimes God provides by not giving us what we want. But God will always provide us what we need. It may not be in the form you expected it. It may not be in the package you thought it should be in. It may come as a total shock. But it will meet your needs and it will be for your good. As God knows best. So let's honor our mothers as God's special creation. Colton read it for us, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, you may enjoy long life on the earth. We didn't read it. We're not going to get there this morning. But in chapter 2 of 1 Samuel, Hannah prays. And it's a prayer of celebration. And in the verse 1 of that prayer, she begins, she is saying, "My heart rejoices in the Lord." She has had agonizing. She's had been heartbroken. She's poured her heart out to God. And she knows that he provides. He remembers her. He knows he cares for her. And finally, he answers her. And now she celebrates. "My heart rejoices in the Lord." And further down, I think it's verse 7, somewhere around there in chapter 2, she talks about having the womb that was closed now has 7 children. I think Hannah's saying, "God, not only have you given me this one child, you've given me 7. And 7 in the Bible is a number for perfection and completion." She has become the perfect fulfillment of what her culture says a woman and a wife ought to be. And she's celebrating God, but it had to be God's timing. It had to be God's way. And she had to stay faithful while God said, "Not right now." And maybe, as Larry says, maybe there's something the rest of us should learn from that as well. Maybe there's a message in there for those of us who aren't moms and will never will be moms. Maybe there's a message there for all of us who put our faith in God. We walk with God, and yes, we face real problems, and yes, we face real struggles, and yes, we have prayers that God so far has said not right now, and yes, we struggle with God's timing. But if we stay faithful, we can know he hears us. We can know he responds to us. We can know he provides for us. And he'll give us exactly what we need, the exact moment we need it, in the exact form we need it. All we've got to do is hang on until God's timing comes to play. I'm glad to see every face here. I'm glad for all of you who are here personally, glad for those of you here electronically. So blessed to be a part of, to worship with you this morning, worship the Savior that we all trust in. In a minute, we're going to stand and sing, and that's our invitation to you. If you're here and you need to respond, if God's heart has touched your heart today, if there's some way this church can serve you, we'd love to know how. It would be our honor to serve you. If you're at home, reach out, call, text, phone. But if we can serve you in some way, in your walk of faith, holding on, praying, trusting, walking with God, we'd be honored to walk with you on that journey. Won't you tell us how we can serve you? Let's stand. Let's sing.